Hello and a very warm welcome to our service today. My name is Catherine and I'm part of the leadership team here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Today we are continuing our series on the Beatitudes and we will be focusing on verse 4 of Matthew chapter 5, which says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And Ian will be speaking to us later about that verse. Today it is also Parish Nursing Sunday. And we are so blessed to have our fantastic parish nursing team here at church. And it was great to hear that they've been able to start up their seated exercise group again this week. And Anne and her team will be leading us in our prayers today. As we start our service, I'm going to read through the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And now let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you treasure the tears of your people. We pray that the things that break your heart would also break our hearts. Lord, we ask you to send your Spirit to help us to see when we have failed you by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Help us to repent of those things that we have done wrong. Lord, we also ask you to bring us to sorrow as we encounter injustice in our world. Soften our hearts, Jesus, so that we may see and respond to brokenness in our world. Help us to respond with our words and our actions, not keeping quiet or feeling powerless in a hurting situation, but doing whatever we can to follow your example and show your love. Encourage us with the truth that while sorrow may last for the night, joy will come in the morning. Amen. And now we are going to praise God together with the song, "I Will Worship."
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. With all of my heart. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
On this Parish Nurse Sunday, we've been asked to share. I have some brief stories from our parish nurse work during the pandemic. I hope you can hear how they show the hope we have in Jesus as Christians. This is a small part of a story of a journey back to God. During 2020, I had the opportunity to help a man with end-of-life care and give support to his family. Over some weeks I talked with him, it became clear that he was wanting peace and to have assurance as he knew he was dying. He told me that he'd lost his faith many years ago, following problems and a tragedy in his life. He said he knew he'd done wrong things in his life, and he felt he couldn't be forgiven. We talked about this. As parish nurses, we can also offer to pray with folks in our care, and I asked if he would like to pray. Eagerly he said yes. I prayed with him. And I also read some verses from scripture. John 11:25 says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I also read him a small booklet about dying and forgiveness and hope we can have through trusting in the Lord Jesus. At this point, he asked if he could say a prayer himself, and I wrote this down as he spoke it in his own words. Lord Jesus, I trust you. I give myself to you. Lord Jesus, I have many questions on my heart, and I ask you to look after my wife and son. Uphold my faith in you. Thank you for your love. Please show them your love. I know they don't see it, but show them your true love. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Let us pray together on this Parish Nursing Sunday. Father God, we thank you for Parish Nurse Ministries and all the parish nurses working in the UK. We pray that you will continue to equip and empower them as they show God's love in both word and deed, as they support those with physical, mental and emotional needs, as they pray with people and walk with them on their spiritual journeys. We pray for Parish Nurse Ministries UK as they seek to support parish nurses and churches in their ministries. Thank you for Anne, our Director of Nursing, and pray for her as she faithfully keeps parish nurses updated with current research and training opportunities, as well as caring for us and supporting us spiritually. We pray for Sue, our CEO, who seeks to raise the profile of parish nursing countrywide and who fundraises to keep the ministries functioning in these very difficult financial times. We just pray you will direct her to the appropriate resources. We pray for our local parish nurses at the Bay and the Methodist Circuit. I pray we will continue to work together and support each other well. And I pray for them for wisdom as they seek to undergo charity status for their ministry. Pray for our team, our parish nursing team here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church, for Anne, for Annie, for Christine, for David, for Esther, for Julie and for Lynn. Thank you for each one and their commitment and faithfulness to the parish nurse ministry, for support, love and encouragement of each other in the team. Thank you for the individual gifts and talents each one has, and praise you that they all complement the other and help us function well as a team. We pray that as lockdown is easing, that you will lead us as a team beside the still waters to be still, to be refreshed and restored, mentally, physically, emotionally and spiritually,
so we can care well for those you bring into our care. I pray that we will continue to build relationships we have formed with those people we have been in contact with during lockdown. Just pray those relationships will just deepen. We pray we can safely restart our groups, our visits and our trips out to those on our caseloads. We pray that we'll continue to serve our church and to reach out to our local community in this time of post-COVID. We pray that we'll be open and listening for God's leading and his guidance in all that we do. And this week on Thursday we celebrated all nurses on International Nurses Day. And I pray for nurses now, especially those who have worked through COVID-19. Many will have seen more deaths than they would have liked to, nursed very sick people, very frightened people, and cared beyond what was expected, dealing with grieving, anxious relatives, and the physical problems of wearing PPE on long shifts. I pray for opportunities for refreshment, for restoration and healing of body and mind. Father God, we lift them up to you. And Lord, we remember those on our list, our church list. We pray for Kate and for Tom, for Eric and for Sarah, for Paul Newton and family, and Marion Oates and her family as the griefs that grieve the death of a parent. We pray for Joel and his family as he prepares to move to Whitley Bay to become our team leader. We pray for all those in India who are affected by the second wave of COVID. We just pray that there will be enough aid sent out and enough beds for people to be cared for. Father God, we just lift them all up to you. And Lord, we lift all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us say together now the Lord's Prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, power and the glory are yours.
Now and forever. Amen.
My name's Paul Richardson. I'm a member of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. And I'm going to be doing today's reading, which is Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen.
You need to have a long, hard look at yourself, young man. And those were often the opening words that my mum said to me as a boy, before I was about to get a serious telling off. I had the benefit of living on the edge of a small market town in North Yorkshire, and like most boys and girls at that time, from quite a young age, 5 or 6 I guess, most if not all of your free time seemed to be spent playing or messing around outside with friends of a similar age nearby. In truth it was great. I loved the freedom, There were woods nearby, caves, a river, parks, fields. There seemed to be hundreds of places to explore, either on foot or on my BMX. It was fantastic. But this freedom did have some boundaries. I needed to tell my parents who I was going to be with. I may be told to come back at a certain time or not play football too close to Mr. Harrison's house. There weren't so many rules really, but they were mainly for my own safety. And yet, I didn't always see it that way at the time. On a few occasions, it was more important to do what I wanted instead. To have some fun, to fulfil that dare, to go that little bit further in whatever I was doing. Or simply in trying to be cool in front of my friends. But when things did go wrong, and I got caught or hurt myself doing something I shouldn't, I needed to be told off, and in truth, I needed to learn from it. My mum wanted me to stop this behaviour because she loved me. I didn't want me to be led astray or become reckless and come to harm. So taking a long, hard look at myself was necessary, and often would lead me to being sorry. I'd hurt my mum's feelings and realised I needed to change. Well, we're going to explore more on the second beatitude. And at the end, I'm going to ask if we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves or not. In the last couple of weeks, we've begun to look at the beatitude as accounted by Matthew in chapter 5. It's been explained before that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, covered in the next two chapters, is training the new disciples. It's the first real teaching for those that have committed themselves to be followers of Jesus. And so if we consider ourselves to be a follower of Jesus, we, just like them, can be considered to be citizens of heaven. These beatitudes showing what a follower of Jesus is like, or should aspire to be like. And we learn the word blessed means happy, although not some abstract or subjective feeling, like when you've passed a test or you receive a smile from someone you love. No, this is a blessing which is qualified. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, and so on. Last week we learnt about the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit being those who are done for, who recognise that they've got nothing to offer of their own spirit. They're in spiritual poverty. So turn to God, and that through this, the way of the kingdom of God is theirs. Which leads us to the next beatitude that we'll be looking at. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. At first glance, it's hard to understand. Why on earth can anyone become happy when mourning? They're polar opposites, aren't they? Most of us have suffered the pain of loss at some stage, and we know how much it hurts. It's far from being a happy experience. The Greek word here is pantheo for mourning, which is the one that means an intense, profound loss as mourning. For the dead, it's the strongest word for mourning, the type that can't be hidden. It's the weeping, the crying out in pain that comes from the heart. But here, it's not directly referring to those that are mourning the death of a loved one, although this is certainly true for many Christians who can testify to being comforted in those difficult times. It says in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." No, when reading this beatitude alongside the first one, we see it's about spirit matters. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're told it starts with those that recognise that they are poor in spirit. And it's in this state of acknowledging that they, in themselves, can't bring anything to the table. They're spiritually broke, as it were. They see in light of God's holiness how sinful they are, and as a consequence, mourn over it. So the beatitude that we're looking into is better understood as meaning, blessed are those who mourn over sinfulness, for they shall be comforted. The disciples, being Jewish, understood the seriousness of sin. Sin being the disobedience to God's laws or God's way of living, godliness. And that it needed to be dealt with, to be paid, to be atoned for. They firmly believed that nobody was without sin, It was there from birth, as David says in Psalm 51, verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Of course, in our Western post-Christian culture that we live in today, it's so different. It's quite hostile to the notion of sin and has a very different moral framework. As followers of Jesus, we need to be minded of this. If we're not careful, there is a risk that we too can trivialise sin. But we are called to be distinctive, to be set apart, to be salt and light. So let's pay close attention to the way that we do live, living how God has commanded us to. So it's not a case of rejecting God's commands or laws, or more likely rejecting parts of the law we don't like and are uncomfortable with. We need to trust and obey. Or more simply, we can't mourn if we don't believe in sin or certain sins in the first place. Jesus, hopefully, in the remainder of the Sermon on the Mount, explains what the law means in practice and how we all fall short. On the other end of the scale, there is a danger of misunderstanding the purpose of God's commands, instructions or laws, to the point in which they are used as a means of self-righteousness, using them as a barometer of how good or bad we are, that through obedience brings about salvation. But it's not on this basis that we should mourn sinfulness, a form of legalism, nor is it mourning over the sinfulness of others in a self-satisfying way, measuring our lives against other people and how they behave, again becoming self-righteous by deploring the actions of those that we or our society says are much more sinful, to point to their sin without spending any attention on our own. We see this in the passage we had read to us from Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Have we been ever tempted to think or say to ourselves, "Well, I know that I'm not perfect, but at least I'm no murderer," or something like, "I know I'm not the greatest father, but at least I'm not like so-and-so"? Or perhaps like the Pharisee, reminding ourselves as followers of Jesus of all the good that we've done, the sacrifices we've made in time and money, our involvement in the community or a church. This can lead to end up with a faith of none at all, seeking to win God's approval through our own means. But true spiritual mourning is seen from the tax collector, isn't it? It comes from the heart. Mourning as mourning the death of a loved one. It's the emotional response to our sin and disobedience. We need to be careful here, as Paul warns in Romans chapter 7, not to discount the law, but recognise that Jesus has fulfilled the law, as it were. All that needs to be done in dealing with our sin, his sacrifice on the cross and resurrection, displaying his victory over sin and death. Paul wrestles, as we all do as believers, with those sins or desires of the flesh going against that which we want to do or wish to do, the law, God's way for our lives to flourish. Let's see in Romans 7, verses 15 to 24. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. A as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. With Paul, can't you fail to see a man getting to grips with the reality of his sin and how he grieves over it? But he certainly doesn't dismiss the law or the purposes of it. As John Stott wisely said, not because obedience leads to salvation, but because salvation leads to obedience. The law is necessary in identifying how we should seek to live, and when we fail, which we do, the follower of Jesus will mourn. As followers of Jesus, don't we find that there is the constant background tune of grieving in our lives? Which is right, because as we grow through repentance and faith, we are going to increasingly see things as God sees them, striving in gratitude to be holy, and in so doing feel the growing realisation of our own sinfulness, from which we can also see the brokenness and sin around us. But here comes the health warning. If that's all that we do, to permanently focus and give all our attention to sinfulness, haven't we missed the point of being a follower of Jesus? As we've just read in Romans, yes, acknowledge, as Paul did, what a wretched man or woman we are, but note Paul immediately follows with this praise for what Christ has done and continues to do. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our debts have been paid, the sin has been washed away, we're free, aren't we? We've been pardoned through Jesus, paying that price, dying on that cross, so that we no longer are subject to death, but to life, and ultimately eternal life. That will be our forever home, where there'll be no more sin or suffering, as it says in that familiar verse, Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But not only that, we have been promised a blessing for our journey. For there's two sides to the coin here. When we mourn, we look to Jesus, and in doing so, have a deeper understanding of what he's done, his unmeasurable grace. No matter what the sin, or how often we've messed up, and the more you see Jesus, the more you see sinfulness and mourn. Of course, it's more than just admitting sin. There's no point in that on its own. We need to strive to change, to be more like Jesus. There's no point in just admitting sin, asking for forgiveness, with no real change of heart. We continue to strive, to press on. And here comes the other blessing for us, for they shall be comforted. We can not only be consoled in the promise of eternal life, not only be assured of our sins being forgiven, for the debt to have been paid, the comfort of salvation, but we can also be blessed in the comfort that the follower of Jesus can have on a daily basis. The Greek word here for comfort is parakaleo, which I understand to mean to call alongside and encourage, to help or support. It's the root of the same word Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit, who would later come to be a comforter to those disciples, John 14 verse 26. So we can receive the comfort and help of the Holy Spirit. to not only illuminate those areas of sin that we need to repent of, but also to hold us up when we have failed miserably again and again, opening our eyes to God's grace and mercy that little bit more, and to receive peace. What a blessing! Not only being released from the debt of sin through Jesus, but through the Holy Spirit, relief and healing from the burden and shame of what we've done. In the traditional prayer book it says, "Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'll end by asking the same question. Do we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves? Well, no. We need to take a long, hard look at Jesus. The Scottish pastor Robert Murray McShane wrote, "Learn much of your own heart, and when you have learned all you can, remember you have seen but a few yards into a pit that is unfathomable. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jeremiah 17 verse 9. And he says, "Learn much of the Lord Jesus. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. He is altogether lovely, such infinite majesty, and yet such meekness and grace. And all for sinners, even the chief. Live much in the smiles of God, bask in his beams, feel his all-seeing eye settled on you in love, and repose in his almighty arms." Amen.
Thank you to Ian for bringing us God's word today. And following that, we are now going to have a time of confession and repentance. 1 John 1 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So let us pray. Father God, we confess that we have sinned against you. We are sorry for the times that we have had unkind thoughts and used unkind words. We are sorry for the times when we have not spoken up and acted in the face of injustice. We are sorry for the times when our actions have hurt you and have hurt other people. We are sorry for the times when we have been greedy in the face of your many blessings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us, so that our sins may be forgiven. Accept our prayers, Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. Help us to live how you would want us to live, and to be salt and light to all who we come into contact with. In your name, Amen.
Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I belong.
I belong to you.
You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. With all I
Thank you to everyone who has been involved in our service today, both on the screen and behind the scenes. And now we're going to finish with a final blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace.